Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Welcome tonight. And then before we jump in the Word, 1 week from tonight, we would love to see you in the room because it is our annual candlelight and communion service. And God's given me a great word for that night, but we're going to have a great time taking communion, observing the Lord's Supper. And we're that church. On Sunday, I said, I'm probably the only pastor preaching about the rapture during Christmas time. But we're that church that at Christmas time, even though we're celebrating his birth, we take communion to remember why he was born, which is the death, the crucifixion, but most importantly, praise God, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we will end that night in a candlelight moment and have a great time. That's 1 week from tonight. And then this Sunday, Santa Claus is coming to Living Way Church Sunday morning. So bring your kids, your grandkids, everybody you know. More importantly, the Holy Ghost will be here. But Santa Claus will be here for photo ops in the lobby and candy canes for all the kids. And so you don't have to go to the mall anymore. And can I just tell you, I went to Rolling Oaks Mall, and it is on life support, y'all. It is not the Rolling Oaks I grew up in. And I saw the Santa Claus display. Y'all, we need to take an offering for the Santa Claus display at Rolling Oaks. Ours is better, and we would love for you to join us Sunday. That's just one of the many traditions we have at Living Way Church. And then Sunday as well is two special offerings every year, Easter and Christmas. And this is a way for us to not only celebrate all that God has done, but remember that we are celebrating his birth. And so it is a great time for us to go above and beyond our regular giving. Whatever God leads you to give, that's what we want you to give. And once you put it in a little gift box, wrap it up, put it in a gift bag, and at the end of Sunday service, we're going to bring them up to the front, lay them on this altar. And that's just a way of saying, Jesus, with all the things going on in this season, I want to celebrate you. I want to thank you for coming to us. And then remember, when you give here at Living Way, I believe and I know that it goes beyond Living Way. And could it be that what we give on Sunday is going to reach into our community and encourage somebody, heal somebody, deliver somebody, but ultimately bring somebody to Jesus Christ? Amen? Y'all ready to get in the Word tonight? For those of you, all right, four of y'all are ready to get in the Word. I don't know why the rest of y'all showed up. How many of you are ready to get in the Word tonight? There we go. Jump up on your feet. Let's go to the Word of God, Isaiah 7, where we were last session. For those of you that can't read my shirt from where you are, it says, what would Jesus do? WWJD. And then it says, he would flip tables. We got to remind people that Jesus, he doesn't put up with everything like the world likes to talk about this woke Jesus. I don't know that woke Jesus. I know resurrected Jesus, but woke Jesus, I don't. That's another T-shirt. Mark that down, somebody that's taking notes. Woke Jesus, resurrected Jesus is always better than woke Jesus. And I thank my wonderful daughter-in-law for this early Christmas gift. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The prophet says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Somebody say, God is with us. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, God is with you. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell him, God is with you. Now somebody just declare, and I know he's with me. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Last session, we started off with the statement, one of the most powerful statements in all of the Bible is that God is with us, Emmanuel. I'm always blessed at this time of year because everyone, whether they're agnostic atheists, whether they are progressive and woke Christians, or whether they are Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christians, everyone in our nation pauses to talk about Jesus, or at least give a nod that he existed. And it's amazing that none of the atheists are arguing about having to go to work. They really didn't believe in Jesus. They should all go to work on Christmas Day. Nobody should get a Christmas bonus if he didn't really exist. They don't mind taking the benefits of the fact that Jesus, they just don't believe. But I'm so grateful that when we hear Emmanuel and when we hear the Christmas carols and the hymns that were literally birthed out of the Christmas season or the birth of Christ and Christ coming to us. But when I hear Emmanuel, it does something to me because I am reminded that God did not just come to us, but that he stayed with us. That literally from the beginning of creation, that the presence of God, the Spirit of God, a physical Jesus was with us for 33 and a half years, and then he reminded them that though I will leave you with a comforter. I will leave you with my Spirit, praise God. That God put on flesh and came to us. God lived and walked with mankind for 33 physical years, not to show us how to die because he's the only one that could die that death, but to show us how to live. So when we say Emmanuel and that God is with you at every point in your life, the high points and the low points, the time when everything is great, but the time when you are going through unbelievable pain and unspeakable misery, there is a revelation and a promise that you can embrace that God is with you no matter what. That's why David would say, I don't fear the valleys because I know that God is with me. He says things like, even though I make my bed in hell, God is with me. I know it's so simple, yet it's so profound that when you leave this room today, God will be with you every step of the way. And when your best friend doesn't pick up the phone, God always picks up. God always talks back. When there's no one to talk to, God always is ready to listen and speak and move on our behalf. God proves in Emmanuel that there isn't any distance, heaven to earth, that can separate us from the love that is Jesus Christ, both physically and spiritually. He reminds us in Emmanuel that there isn't anything in the world that can separate us from his presence, because in the New Testament, when Jesus breathed his last breath and the earthquake was shaking Jerusalem, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And that was God's way of announcing, you don't have to have a high priest physically because Jesus has now become your high priest. And when you want the presence of God, it can be a Monday, a Thursday, a Friday. It can be 11 a.m., 11 p.m. God is available. Matthew chapter 1, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, verse 18, how it came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. The fact that you and I came to Jesus is a miracle. Of all that God has done, the greatest miracle that you have ever encountered is that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. While we were yet sinners, Jesus stretched out on the cross for us because he loves us. But I am so glad, because following up with that miracle is the fact that you said, I love you, back to Jesus. I know some of us have been saved so long that we've forgotten how messed up we were. We've forgotten how far we've come from. We've forgotten how much God delivered us from. We forgot how much religion we were filled with. We forgot all the misery. We forgot all the things we had been through. But I am here to remind you, it was a miracle when he said yes to us, but oh, it was a miracle when we said yes back to him. God is with us. The miracle that he came to us. Before they came together, Mary found out she was pregnant through the Holy Spirit. The first in a long line of miracles is that Jesus came to us. However he chose to show up on the scene is a miracle, because it came through a virgin. And I did not have time to touch on this last week, but can I just encourage and inspire someone's expectation today that God is doing things in your life that you have never seen before. And some of us are expecting God to do it the old way, but behold, God is doing a new thing. Some of us are expecting it to come through some Holy Spirit-filled, Bible-thumping, Bible-quoting person. But can I encourage you that some people that you would have deemed an enemy, God is going to use them to bring the greatest season of your life. And here they were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a Savior, but they did not know it was going to come through a 16-year-old virgin named Mary. They did not know that the king was going to come in an unexpected way. Can I encourage you? We've been saying it for the last 11 and a half months. Get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. Every phone call, I'm expecting it to be a miracle. Every email, I'm expecting it to be a miracle. Every person I meet, I'm expecting there to be something that happens between us two that's a miracle for them or a miracle for me. I know that it's different, but God, I'm looking for you to show up anywhere, at any time, in any way. He comes to this earth in a way that had never been thought of before. And yet here Mary is, and the Holy Spirit had helped her conceive what would become Emmanuel, God with us. And let me just encourage you, just because you can't see him does not mean that he is not already here. And she had already conceived, and Joseph didn't know that he was sleeping in the bed, that Emmanuel was already there. And every one of Mary's friends didn't know that the Messiah and the Savior that their grandparents had been prophesying, he's coming, he's coming. Little did they know at Starbucks with Mary sipping a latte that Emmanuel was already there. Could I encourage you twofold? The people around you don't know what you carry. That's why it's important that you carry Jesus wherever you go and allow your life to be the manger, because at your job and at your school, they don't know what you're carrying, but what you're carrying is going to change the world and their world. Praise God. He shows up in a miraculous form. Time spent with the Holy Ghost will make you pregnant. But I say it like this because that word pregnancy, it makes everyone nervous. Anytime Mandy has a stomach ache, I say, maybe you're pregnant. And she gets a frown on her face. She said, don't you even joke about that. I said, oh, you'd be mad for about 2 days. She said, no, I'd be mad for 9 months. But here in that word pregnancy, but let's change that word pregnancy to expectation. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her, got involved in her life, and made her pregnant. Just the same, believers in 2022, the Holy Spirit wants to overshadow us, get involved in our life. Can I get an amen? Get involved in our presence. Can I get an amen? Get involved in our mess and bring about expectation. I don't know who the first person to ever say it, but I'm glad they did. They quit saying, I'm pregnant, and they say, I'm expecting. But you know what? Only the one who carries it truly knows what they're expecting. Every mother in the room can tell you that when they found out that they were pregnant, their mind began to think of what that little baby is going to grow up to do. And then when they found out it was a little boy or a little girl, they start using words like, oh, they're going to be kingly, or they're going to be a queen, or they're going, all of these things, and they're building an expectation. Can I encourage you today, when God is with you, that does not just mean the presence in a church service. It means for us people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. It means those of us that are carrying the Spirit and taking Jesus wherever we are, it is overshadowed. He's involved in our lives, and it causes us to expect. See, that's why coming to church is important, because in church, the Holy Spirit, not a team, not a preacher, not a ministry, the Spirit of God is in this room, and I believe in the next 15 minutes that he can do something in here today, that you walk in one way, but you leave expecting, you leave carrying something with you. That's why I like Spirit-filled people, because Spirit-filled people, your worship's different. Spirit-filled people, you know what I'm talking about. Your time and devotion in God's Word is different. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, you're not just reading Jesus. You're reading Jesus in the Word, but His Spirit's on the inside of you, and His Spirit's telling you things that you didn't know, revealing things that you didn't know, and you leave and you close the Bible, you minimize the app, and you feel different. You're expecting. Holy Spirit, that's why you can't go to dead churches. That's why we can't go to dry churches. That's why we can't go to churches that haven't had a move of God. This is a church that we are in love with the presence of God. And the reason we can worship like we worship, praise like we praise, receive like we receive, is we don't start worshiping at 7:01 on Wednesday night. We came in here worshiping. We'll go home worshiping. We'll go to sleep worshiping. And we'll wake up worshiping. Because the Spirit, it overshadows us. It builds expectation. Verse 19, Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to publicly disgrace her. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, before I get to this next portion, some of us are too worried about who is going to be there to help us carry what God has placed in our spirit. I am here to tell you, if God promised you and God impregnated you, He does not need anyone else. That's why the revelation of God with us will blow your mind when you grasp it. Because anybody else besides God is icing on the cake. Because if God gave me the promise, if God is the promise, if He gave me the Holy Spirit as a promise of power, I could use your help. I love your help, but I don't need your help. If God's the one who gave me this baby, then God's going to help me deliver this thing and raise this thing in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I don't need you, but I want you. Powerful to me. I don't need you, but I want you. I want you to be a part of this process. Do you think if Joseph had divorced Mary that God would have aborted Jesus? Of course not. He said, it doesn't matter what Joseph does. I have given you a son, and whether Joseph says amen or not, that is why when people walked out on you in 2022, and said, thank you for your deposit in my life. Thank you for being the scaffolding in my life to build what God was wanting to build. That's why when obscure people walked into your life in 2022, Lord, I thank you for bringing them here because they don't know what I'm carrying, but God, you're going to use them to help me birth this thing that is going to change a generation. So he was going to divorce her, but in a dream, an angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Four words, do not be afraid. Moving into a new year, church, do not be afraid. Heading into valleys, do not be afraid. People walk out. Do not be afraid. Looking at your checkbook and then looking at God's vision, do not be afraid. The phrase fear not is found in your Bibles 365 times. That's one for every day. If you did not like the last part, you're probably not going to like this. Do not be afraid is not a suggestion. Do not be afraid is a command that if you are going to carry what I've called you to carry, if you are going to call yourself a believer and then you're going to celebrate Emmanuel, you cannot be scared in his presence. Why? Because God does not give a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That means sometimes we've got to some of us are talking about spiritual struggles, and it's not even a spiritual struggle. It's a mind struggle. It's between your ears. Can we quit
given the devil credit for times in our life where things went crazy and he had nothing to do with it, but we let our thoughts go crazy? Very rarely does Mandy, is she the one that travels and I'm at home by myself. On occasions, it has happened. You hear things outside. I'm a grown man with weapons. And when she's not in the house and I hear something, what was that? And your mind goes to the worst. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And it was a leaf this big that hit the window sill. You've got a choice. Chances are what you're afraid of is not even the reality of what you think that it is. Chances are the enemy saw you go crazy in fear, and he has poured gasoline on that fire. And this is what God said, Joseph, I know you don't understand what I'm doing on this earth, but I need you to not be afraid. You say, why would he tell him not to be afraid? That's really not what he's dealing with. He said, Joseph, I need you to be strong because you've got a 16-year-old girl who's pregnant by the Holy Ghost, and she does not need you to be freaking out because she's going to have to be building her faith. Can I encourage parents in this room today? Don't let your fears become liabilities in your children. If you're going to pass on something to them, pass on a generational faith. Pass on a generational form of worship. Pass on a generational wealth. But do not pass on generational trauma. Do not pass, oh, I'm preaching to somebody. Do not pass on generational hate. I'm preaching to somebody. Do not pass on a generational fear that they're going to have to live running from monsters that never were even real in your life, yet you projected that onto them. He said, Emmanuel is in your house, Joseph. I need you to not be afraid. Have you ever been in the presence of strength? I love being in the presence with Bishop and Pastor Becky. We've sat in board meetings. We've sat in rooms with presidents of banks. We've sat in rooms with presidents of the United States. And I always feel better when Bishop and Pastor Becky are sitting next to me. Why? Because their strength becomes contagious, just like fear is contagious. And this is what he says to Joseph. He says, Joseph, she's carrying something that you don't even comprehend what it is. And I need your strength to become contagious in her so that spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, she can carry what I put in her. Men of God, we need your strength. Men of God, we need your worship. Men of God, we need your worship to be. We don't need the strong, silent type. I don't know where that came from. We need your voice, men of God. We need to see your worship, men of God. If you notice, about 98% of the people that fill this altar on Wednesdays and Sundays to worship God are the ladies. And ladies, mad respect to you. But men, we need your strength. We need a visible strength. We need a vocal strength. We need godly men. Will the real Josephs please stand up? Moms, fathers, we need you in your homes to be strong. I feel some things in the spirit. We need voices of faith at home. Not just at church. We need worship, not coming from an iPod, coming from your mouth. We need, your children need to see you with a Bible in your hands on days other than Sunday and Wednesday. Why are you doing that, Joseph? I'm doing that because I need it, but I'm doing that so Mary knows she's not carrying that thing by herself. Do not be afraid. 365 times. And so number one was the Holy Spirit builds expectation. That's why God with us is so important, because His Holy Spirit is with us. It builds expectation. But the Holy Spirit drives out fear. Said, son of David, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid. Verse 21, she will give birth to a son, And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, which leads us to this third point. The Holy Spirit fulfills promise. God with us. God in my ear on the daily is reminding me. Remember what I said in 2015? I haven't forgot about it. And I'm with you. I know when the doctor came in, that shook you, but I'm with you. I know when she left you, it shook you, but I'm with you. I know when you ran out of money, it shook you, but I'm with you. I know when the enemy came against your family like that, it shook you, but I'm with you. And the God that gave you the promise is the same God that is still with you. And he is working behind the scenes and in front of your face. And he is saying, don't stop now. Don't quit believing. Don't quit interceding. Don't quit chasing after. Keep the faith. Keep worshiping. Keep praying. I know it shook you, but I'm with you. Holy Spirit builds expectation. The Holy Spirit drives out fear. And the Holy Spirit produces the promise. Talk to my friend right here on the second row before service. I said, how are you doing? How's your week going? She said, I'm fighting. I said, I'll keep fighting. She said, oh, that's all I know how to do. I'm going to keep fighting until I win. And that's what the Holy Spirit, that's what God in us and with us means. That it might look like I'm down now. It might look like I'm down for the count now. But I got 10 seconds to get up, and a just man gets up every time he falls. Give me a couple more moments tonight. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. This is the second. The first is what we just went through. God with us, Emmanuel. The second time that Jesus now speaks of Emmanuel or in himself that I'm with you is Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree. Oh, this is a good place to say amen. If two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Here comes some revelation that I shouted about when God gave me. The confidence of Christ's statement. If two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done by my Father in heaven. It's not just in the declaration. Because there's a whole lot of believers that are declaring things, but they're not seeing things, holding things, and there's nothing happening. Where the power of that statement is not in the declaration of the agreeers, but rather of his presence that shows up in the middle when two people start agreeing. Excuse me while I make this next point. That's why it matters who you marry. That's why it matters who you hang out with, and that's why it matters how much you come to church. Why? Because I'm always looking for a praise partner. I'm always looking for a prayer partner. I'm always looking for someone to declare. To declare. The Bible says one puts a thousand. One puts a thousand evil spirits, evicts them out of your life. Two puts 10,000. You say, oh man, my prayers are powerful by myself. Oh yes, they are. They definitely are. But why pray by yourself when you can be 10 times more powerful praying with somebody? And now we get to live in a technology age where you can FaceTime your praise partner. You can call your praise partner and say, hey, I don't need 10 minutes. I just need about 45 seconds for you and me to agree on what God promised in my life. And when me and you agree on his word, guess what happens? God shows up in your suburban. God shows up in your cubicle. God shows up in your living room. God shows up in the waiting room at the hospital. I don't need 100. I just need one to agree with me. So what happens at Living Way if no one shows up this Sunday? Oh, we'll be fine because I know me and Mandy will be here. You say, well, what about the other hundreds and thousands of people that could be here? Oh, they could be here, but all we need is her and me to agree. And we can agree right here and be the only ones in this entire auditorium. And guess what? God is not looking at his watch and looking at us and saying, well, there's not enough people for me to show myself strong. The Bible says his eyes are looking to and fro. What's he looking for? A declaration, for an agreement between two believers. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, will you pray with me? Will you agree with me? Matthew 18:20, for where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. I love the fact that I married my best friend, but I love the fact that my best friend is Holy Ghost filled, word filled, faith filled, love filled. So at 3:30 in the morning, I can wake her out of a slumber and say, let's pray for 30 seconds. I can call her on the phone on a Tuesday and say, let's agree. Let's talk about what God is going to do. That we can talk, hey, this is what the doctor said, but let's undo that by getting God mixed in the middle of all of this. He said, we're two or three gathered together in my name. I am in.